As I mentioned at the start of the service, today being the first Sunday in Advent, why would we have a Palm Sunday text? What do the two have to get together? What do they have one to another? When we're little, we're taught what our first name is, what our middle name is, and what our last name. We're taught to call mom what mom wants to be called, and we're taught to call dad, dad, or however he likes to be referred to. Grandmas and grandpas often get nicknames. And another item we're taught is our birthday. And by the time we get to the age of 5, we're to know certain things, right? We're to know our address, our phone number, and the like. And throughout our life, we write those down. I have no idea how many times. You know? You now go to the doctor's office or the pharmacy, they'll want to know your birthday. It's part of our identity. It's part of who we are. It's part of the way it can be in the record and you know, to be sure you are who you say you are. Well, maybe that's the point of today's gospel. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. We've already had Thanksgiving, and Black Friday is now history, although I'm still getting emails for Black Friday sales. It's crazy. But maybe that's the point. The world already knows it's important to remind you. It's important to remind you what's going on. It's important to remind you to stop at their store. It's important to remind you of sales and bargains. And please take a look. And in the church years, we get to Advent now. I think it's also important to remind you. What are we preparing for? We know the slogans. Jesus is the reason, right, for the season. And we know the message of the nativity. But in amongst all of that comes all these other messages. Like, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Or, you know, if you want a little humor, grandma got run over by a reindeer. Or, you know, and on, the music of the time of this holiday season sometimes has very little to do with what Christmas is all about. So Advent is here to help you to remember. It's like, well, I know my name, but we just want to make sure you know who's coming to town. The other problem with that is, well, he isn't coming here. The king came in the text, it was Jerusalem and Bethany. And then he left town and he comes back into town in that Holy Week episode. And we recognize Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And so how do we connect all of that history with Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee? Advent helps us with that as well. Because the question is, who is this? Okay? It's the same answer we need to be able to come up with. Why are we gathering in God's house? Why are we worshiping at this time of year? Because the king is coming. Yet we remember he did come. We're going to celebrate his birth. We got that part. But Christmas is about the one who reigns today as well. The king is coming. It's just not any king. It was the king that was foretold in the Old Testament prophecies. You heard it read in the gospel lesson. It's quoted there for you. He'll come and he's there and he's riding on a donkey and the foal of a donkey. And there he comes. And the people, historical narrative of Matthew tells us, what did the people do? They shouted, Hosanna, save us. They needed a different kind of leader. They needed a different kind of king. It was a world of chaos. It was a world of crime. a world of corruption, a world where people didn't do what they were supposed to be doing. You know, that sounds like today, doesn't it? And into that world came Emmanuel, God with us, King. Now they came to find out, you know, what kind of king he was. He was a king who would wash feet. He's a king who would heal. He was a king who was born and grew up, and at the age of 30, he began his public ministry. And for 3 years, he told stories called parables. And he had points in those stories, and sometimes those points had zingers, you know. The audience many times knew, he's talking about me. And then he talked about forgiveness and wiping the slate clean, and about a life given to God, surrendered to God. And that's the king who came into the city on Palm Sunday. It's the king who was born in the city of David, Bethlehem. It's the king we welcome by faith into our hearts and our minds. It's the king who comes to us in our baptism in the water and the word. It is the same king who comes to us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, in the bread and the wine. It's that king's body and blood given and shed for you. The king comes. It's not just, well, there was once upon a time a king. Story told, story ended. The king still reigns. He's still ruler over heaven and earth. He is still Lord and master of it all. And the example in the text, because he is this Lord, he is our Savior, the disciples were given some instructions before he came into town. They were to go and find that little donkey, right? And he gave them directions, and you heard in the gospel reading, and the disciples went. You know, I think we rush right by that sentence so many times because it's just part of the historical narrative. Yeah, they went to town, they got their colt, they brought him back, you know, and people did ask, what are you doing? He said, the king needs this, you know, the Lord has need of it, rather. You know, and okay, and they went. And it's almost like the big stuff was the Hosanna. You know, I think the big stuff is they went. How often do you do what you're told? I'm sorry, I'm meddling. I won't look in anybody particular's direction, you know. Man, I know in my case, it wasn't that often. Not at all. How often do you do what God says, this is what I want you to do? And so when the Bible talks about how all have fallen short of the glory of God, that's what it's telling us. We have not done what we were told to do, and we did the stuff we were told not to do, and we need a king to save us because we can't save ourselves. Advent is behold your king. He comes in the babe of the manger. Behold your king. He comes to you and claims you as his child, as his people. Behold your king. He comes not to lord it over you, you know, pointing whichever way and get my grapes and get my food and wash my shoes and do those things. And he's not a king that bosses everybody around, but he is a king who serves to lift us up in forgiveness, in hope, in victory, in joy. Behold your king. Now, if we're going to be politically correct, we live in America, we don't have a king, right? And you think about it, it used to be said, the home is the man's castle, right? Now, every husband here, would you raise your hand if you rule the house? It ain't happening, right? Yeah. Charlie in your dreams. I saw your head go. Yeah, see, we aren't even a king in our castle. We can't get things to go our way. We can't just command stuff and make it happen. And we find in our world there seems to be very little authority. And those in authority ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And on, we could really be grumpy right now if we want to make a list. But into this world of chaos, a long time ago, a king was born. And into the chaos of our heart and our mind, a king is present. He is here. The Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The king is here. But our sinful nature doesn't want a king. Our sinful nature wants to be the king. Maybe you thought this. I did the wrong thing and I said it out loud when I was a kid. You know, when I grow up and I have my own house, I'm going to make the rules. And my dad just grinned at me and he said, I hope I get to see that. You know, because I thought I really knew what rules I would have. You know, dessert first, you know, and, you know, all other kinds of stuff. And you begin to understand how parents teach you because they love you. And they tell you don't because they care. And we need a king who comes into our life because he loves us. And he shows us that love because he died for us. We don't always like government. We don't always like martial law. We don't always like police. We don't always like school teachers. And if we're honest, we don't always like pastors either. People in authority make mistakes. People in authority abuse their power. People in authority make me do stuff I don't want to do. I want to be in charge of myself. But when we are in charge of ourselves, what happens? How often when you do it your way, does it really, really work out? When you decided to tell somebody what you really think, you know, did that work for you? And when you tried to do something like a project and you didn't read directions, how did that work for you? We need someone to lead us. And thanks be to our Heavenly Father, we still have a king. A king who speaks. A king who speaks to us through the word. It can always be found, and he can always be heard. A king who is near because he's present everywhere. A king who is a powerful king who can steal the storm and waves and stop them. He can bring manna out of nothing and nowhere. He is a king of authority. He is your king. And he's coming. He has come. And Advent makes one more step just a little bit further because it points to the future. He will be coming. When he returns to judge the living and the dead, the king comes. It's good to have a king. This time of year, as we prepare for Christmas, we are make way, as John the Baptist cried out, make way. Prepare the way for the king. And recognize what it means for us in our heart and in our mind to have a king. To confess Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And to depend on that one to lead us into everlasting life. Amen.